Indianapolis 500. He gave the popular name of Fort Worth, Texas, to his second Indianapolis victory. He's won two other races during the USAC Championship season. He's the current point leader coming into the final race of the year. And the pressure is really on Johnny's shoulders today because hotly pursuing him in those point standings is Gordon Johncock. Johncock is the Phoenix Classic. He won the Indianapolis 500 in 1973, also a rain-shortened race. This year, he's won the Michigan and Trenton 200. He's the only other driver, other than Rutherford, who could win the driving crown of 1976 in New York. The scene of their final confrontation will be the Arizona 500. This will decide it all. And you'll see that race today on ABC's Wide World of Sports. At the Phoenix International Raceway, located some 15 miles west of downtown Phoenix, out here in the desert where it's hot and it blows, but it's a perfect site for racing and a perfect spot for the running of the Arizona 150 USAC Championship race. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Fleming, welcoming you to this final stop on the USAC Championship Trail for 1976. And this is the most important race because the National Driving Championship depends on its outcome. Johnny Rutherford is leading in the point standing. Gordon Johncock is right behind. Now, here's how they award the points. For this particular race of 150 miles, the winner will get 300 points. Second place, 240. Third place, 210. Fourth place, 180, and so on down. Now, as far as the total points are concerned for the entire year, Rutherford has 4,220. Johncock has an even 4,000. So, if Johncock wins today and gets 300, he would wind up with 4,300 points. Now we have to figure out, where does Rutherford have to finish if Johncock wins in order to win the title? And it works out to 7. If Johncock finishes second, Rutherford will have to finish 11th or better to be the champion. If Johncock is third, there is no way that Johnny Rutherford can be kept from winning his first USAC National Driving Championship. Well, there are other stories, of course, to be covered. And one of those, a very important one, is down in the pit where our expert, Chris Economaki, editor of National Speed Sport News, is standing by to show us the kind of car we're going to be seeing here today. Chris?
Racing rules stipulate length, width, height, engine size, and safety on today's Indianapolis car. Let's look at the differences as different designers see them. This is the high-gain McLaren driven by Johnny Rutherford, and this is the Goodyear Patrick Wildcat assigned to Gordon Johncock. These men are locked in a battle for the championship. Wings are commonplace in today's Indianapolis cars, and here the front one stuck on the nose of the McLaren. Over on Johncock's car, the same wing, but with an added fillip, a little bit of an angle to help the wind over the front wheel. As far as the air to cool the engine, on this car, it's poured into a hole behind the front wheel. On the McLaren, the radiators are mounted outboard on the side of the chassis. The McLaren chassis is a lot thicker than the Wildcat chassis, which is wider and shallower. Moving back to the engine room, here we have an Oppenhauser engine, and here is Sparks, Goose, and Drake. This one is covered up, this one is out in the air. And back in the rear wing, the rules say the wing can only be so high from the bottom of the car. So the Wildcat is tilted upward. The wing here is this high. The McLaren car is lower on the bottom, and therefore the wing is down low. The wing on this car, higher and cleaner air, perhaps the plus. At any rate, when the day is over, one of these two cars will have a champion as its driver.
Okay, very interesting, Chris, and of course we're going to be getting comments from you all afternoon. Well, we're just about ready to get underway with this Arizona 150. The cars will be on the track in the pace lap, and we'll be back for the start of the race in just a moment. The president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Tony Holman, gave the command today. Gentlemen, start your engines and everybody's running. Bobby Unser and Gordon Johncock, row one. Mario Andretti and Tom Bigelow in two. Lloyd Ruby and Johnny Rutherford in row three. Wally Dallenbach and Billy Vukovic. And let's get a word now from Chris Economaki. Chris, what do you look for at the start of the race?
Well, I look for Gordon Johncock to try very hard to get in behind pole winner Bobby Unser, 141 miles an hour on the pole. He's very fast. He's worried about Mario Andretti in third position, closing up that interval there.
Here they come around, turn four, and we are going to get a green flag. We're going to get a start. On the right of your picture, Bobby Unser in the blue car. Next to him, Gordon Johncock. And there we go, and look at the acceleration of Bobby Unser as he heads into that first turn. And Tom Bigelow keeps right ahead of Mario Andretti. So we have the primary colors of blue, red, and yellow, the first three cars. What happened to Mario?
Well, he got off to a very poor start and lost several positions, and Johnny Rutherford has already started to improve.
All right, keep in mind now that there are two races going for us today, the race for the Arizona 150, and also who wins the National Driving Championship. And right now, it's Gordon Johncock right on the tail of Bobby Unser. And currently, Johnny Rutherford is in fifth place in the standings. But it's Bobby Unser, who won the race here earlier in the year, who is off to a very fine start. And as Chris mentioned, he qualified at 141.287 miles per hour.
Bobby's driving for Bob Fletcher, a local man. He won the opening race of the year right at this track. He's at home on this speedway, Bill. He does a great job on it. Fletcher's cars are tailored right for the track.
Tom Bigelow is currently in third place. Best he's done in 1976 is the best place finish at the Ontario 500. So he would like to get in there for a big share of the cash today. Right now, it's Bobby Unser, followed closely by Gordon Johnson.
Bigelow is a good specialist.
Moved into the number four spot. He is right behind Bigelow. So Rutherford is gaining on Gordon Johnson. Of course, those two fellows have been battling it out all year for the championship. They're the only two that are in consideration now to win the driving title for 1976.
Somehow between one and two, and I didn't see it quick, maybe he didn't get a little more silly.
Currently, Gordon Johncock is in second place. That's what he needs. in order to beat Johnny Rutherford for the championship. And it looks like Al Unser is slowing down, and we may have a pit stop here under the green. He's coming in, Chris.
Well, it's time for that refueling, and here's where the pitmen play an important part. The Bell Quinelli Jones crew goes to work. He's dry brake fueling, and look at that. Up on air jacks, mounted on the car. And the roof cover with the right front wheel, but the man gets it off with some pounding, puts it back on. This is going to be a fast stop. As the race continues out on the speedway, Gordon Johnstock coming down underneath Johnny Rutherford. And what a feeling Johnny Rutherford must have here, Bill. And Rutherford slows down to come in the pit to make his stop. Now, here's where the pit men can do things for Johnny Rutherford. The team McLaren crew and Rutherford have been working together for years. Watch him approach his pit crew. It's a beautiful rhythm of driver and crew. The men are standing there waiting. The front man is on his knees, but the front right in front of him. He doesn't have to move to the left or to the right. And that car goes up on the jack. This is an ideal crew, one of the best worldwide racing, and a championship is at stake here. And the outside tires are down, and he has got his fuel and goes back out and past the way pit work.
It's interesting, we were putting a clock on that pit stop. It was only 16 and a half seconds for Johnny Rutherford, and he is back racing again, knowing full well that he has to pick up some ground on Gordon Johnstock. Well, it's been an exciting day, and again, in case you're just joining us, we really have two races going. We have Al Unser in the lead for that pit stop for the 150 title. We have two drivers, Gordon Johnstock and Johnny Rutherford, battling it out for the USAC Driving Championship of 1976. Neither of those drivers has ever won a national crown, although they have many, many victories to their credit along the USAC Driving Trail. There we see a couple of teammates down the next race, Dallenbach and Gordon Johnstock. Kind of hard to distinguish the two, but Johnstock has the blue helmet.
Championship at the last race in Japan, and Johnny would like to make it two for Team McLaren today.
This is the battle going on now, as Al Unser is being challenged for the lead. He had a very quick pit stop himself, but Gordon Johnstock is still in second place by virtue of a good pit stop. Al Unser, driver 21, comes by the lead of two. Let's see how far behind Gordon Johnstock is. We have roughly 13 seconds. George Snyder, as you just saw him sneak into your picture, he's just crossing the left, and it looks like Al Unser is going to put a lap on him.
This shows a narrow groove here, Phoenix. Unser has his seat, but he won't move out of his line. He waits till the time is right to go by. And there he goes, here's Rutherford.
Al Unser in the lead, and Gordon Johnstock in second, and Rutherford has now moved up into seventh, and he's starting to smoke down the main straightaway, Chris, and it looks like trouble.
Oh, that engine trouble of one sort or another. You wonder if it's an oil leak, he's going, but if it's more than that, he's in trouble and he's slowing down. This is trouble at this, but cross Johnny Rutherford, the national championship. He's been in the lead in the points all year long.
Everybody standing here anxiously looking at the car, and here he comes, and it looks like it's going to be all over for Johnny Rutherford this afternoon. Now, that doesn't give Johnstock the title. He's still, look at it, hammers the wheel. Johnstock still has to finish second or better. So it puts a little bit of pressure on him, but for Johnny Rutherford, well, what can you say? You don't have to say anything. Just look. I know that you can't possibly get a word with him there. I know he doesn't want to talk to anybody until things cool down a bit. I think he is smoking through his ears just about as badly as his engine was through the exhaust pipe. Well, a tough break, and the caution flag is out because of the oil on the track by that leak of his car, and we'll be back in a moment. We have known many moments of joy during John's brilliant racing career, but this has to be the biggest moment of despair for him. He isn't out of the national championship, but he well knows that he can't control it now. That's what bothers him. Gordon Johncock, who is currently running in second, all he has to do is set, stay in second, and he wins the driving championship, and Rutherford has to helplessly look on. Tough moment, Chris.
Yes, it is. If money is any consolation, Bill, Rutherford's earnings going into today's race are $360,000 for the year. Well, John Cox threw exactly half that at $180,000. Rutherford being the leading money winner on the series.
The green flag is out now. The yellow had come out because the oil spilled on the track by Rutherford's car. And so they are racing once again. And John Cox is staying right in there and running very hard. Although I must say this. As we watch him run, he has to feel a great deal of pressure on his shoulders.
Of course, not only that, he's got to wonder about the car, because no one knows what a car will or won't do, as Johnny Rutherford can attest.
The thing that's strange about a broken oil line, it's one of those things you can't prevent from happening.
You can put a new one on before the race and a new engine brake, and one, the other one on the other side of the engine can be 5 years old and last a distance.
So Al Unser, who has the lead, is hanging on to it. He's got about 15 and a half seconds on Gordon Johncock. And Johncock has about 7.5 seconds on Mario Andretti. You can bet that Johnny Rutherford and all of his followers have never really parted for Mario Andretti in their lives.
This car is interesting. This is a developmental year for this car. It's a new design chassis. It's very small, smaller than all the other cars on the track, and it has that British-built Cosworth V8 engine fitted with an American turbocharger, and owners Farnelli Jones and Bell Melichick are looking for a big season in 1977 with this combination.
So it's Al Unser in the lead. Gordon Johncock is in second place. Then Mario Andretti in the number four position right now. The position he's held most of the afternoon, or a little bit closer, is Roger McCluskey. He's been in and out of that top five.
And McCluskey's in another new design car called the Lightning that car owner Lindsey Hopkins is fostering. There's Todd Gibson heading for the pits. And we're going to see a big year next year with these new cars.
All right, Wally Dahlenbach, then is fifth. Then Billy Vukovich is sixth. Those are the top seven right now. We're going to be returning for the climax of this race, but right now, we're going to return to our coverage of the World Professional Skiing Championship at Steamboat Springs, Colorado. We covered it last winter. We'll be bringing you a report on the last event of the Pro Ski Tour at Vail, Colorado, after this race. And we have less than 10 laps to go now, and it is boiled down to simply this. In the lead, with car number 21, you saw Al Unser, but Gordon Johncock, in car number 20, is still running smoothly. He is in second place. He stays there, he wins the National Driving Championship. If Mario Andretti, right there in third, can overtake Johncock, then Rutherford, who was fourth out of the race earlier with a broken oil line, would win the championship for 1976. But it doesn't look like anybody's going to catch Al Unser.
You know, we've got a couple of first-year men here back in the race. Rick Mears, a former off-road racer, who's doing very well, running in the top 10. And Bobby Olivero is in there, hanging there. Pushman there, going by number 65, back after an accident 2 years ago. 2 rounds to the end of the race, which way is it?
Well, this is the final race of the championship trail, race number 13. And Al Unser is in the lead. He has won the Pocono 500 and Milwaukee 200. And this would be his third win of the 76 season. However, he has no chance for the National Driving Crown, which incidentally he won in 1970.
If John Cox wins it, it'll be another national championship for Cruz. George McNally won more than any other Cruz kid. And followed up Pat Patrick from Jackson, Michigan, is already to celebrate, I'm sure.
Now, the interval between John Cox and Mario Andretti is now 13 seconds. So Mario has got to pick up 13 seconds to move into second place. And, or put it another way, all John Cox has to do is to keep that buffer in there, and he wins the national driving title. Again, he takes the darn away, John Cox. All he had to do was finish this race today in 11th spot or better if John Cox finished second. However, he was out of the race, forced out of the race, and is watching from the sideline and is hoping against hope that in the last couple laps something might happen that would give him the championship. All right, we've got the climax coming up in just a couple of laps, and we'll be back for the wrap up of the Arizona 150 in a moment. Here we go, and Al Unser, car number 21, as he flies by on the inside. inside of one of the slower cars. Looks like he has the Arizona 150 all wrapped up. Been repeating all afternoon, there are really two races going here today. Who wins the top prize in the Arizona 150, which looks like Alex is going to do, and who's going to be the national driving champion for 1976. Right now, Gordon Johncock looks like he's got a pretty good lock on it. He is in second place, running smoothly. Johnny Rutherford, who had a chance and had the lead going into today's race, is out of the race, has to watch helplessly from the sidelines. As you see, Gordon Johncock, hang on there, running smoothly, some 13 seconds ahead of Mario Andretti, although now I see it's down to 11 seconds, so maybe he's backing off a little bit, Chris Economaki.
I wouldn't be surprised, Bill, that bright desert sun burning so sharply is right at the end of the front stretch. Would make anyone slow down with that in your eyes.
And the white flag is out for Al Unser. One more lap to go. And now Gordon Johncock will also get the white flag, which means that I guess he can just about coast in around this mile circuit and win the National Driving Championship. Half a lap to go for Al Unser. Very popular driver from Albuquerque, Mexico. And he's coming into turn three here. Now is Gordon Johncock really slowing down on that back stretch. He doesn't want to take any chances. Is out for Al Unser. He wins the Arizona 150. And coming around is Gordon Johncock, and he sets the checkered flag. And so, Johnny Rutherford, I guess if we had a shot of him right now, would just be burying his head in his hands because he lost the championship. But there is joy and jubilation for Gordon Johncock, too. Everybody running down here to the track finish line. And here comes Al Unser. He'll be pulling right up here. And Chris Economaki will be down there to talk to both Al Unser and to Gordon Johncock. And we're going to try to get a word with Johnny Rutherford, who, of course, is heartbroken at this point. But right now, all eyes are on two drivers, Al Unser and Gordon Johncock. And let's go down to have a word with both of them. Chris?
Congratulations, Al. And you told us not to put our cameras on you at the start.
I tell you, Chris, when you got a car like I got in a cruise, I tell you, you just can't hardly go wrong, you know. Thanks to Goodyear and, of course, my sponsor, American Racing Wheels, I'm just tickled to death. And, of course, Huey Epsilon, my chief, and the whole crew, Jim Chapman.
The kickoff was absolutely superb, Al. I think it was one of the contributory things to your victory.
Well, yes, it was. They did a fantastic job on my stop, and without help like that, you know, you just can't win a race. I don't care who you are, and it shows.
You know how the championship came out?
No, I don't. I won the race. That's all I care.
That huge crowd of people down there at the finish line is around Gordon Johncock's car. There's Gordy himself, the USAC driving champion for 76. And Chris Economaki moving in to say a word with him. Chris?
You pulled it off, Gordo. It was quite a day. When in the race did you know you had the championship won?
Well, you know, we really feel good, Chris. You know, right down towards the end, we knew we didn't have to win. I think the most nervous part of this whole thing has been for me when I found out that Rutherford was out of the race. I think I really got worried, you know, and a little bit nervous. Then I knew we had to finish, you know, at least second, so, and I knew Al was winning, and I really didn't try and catch Al. Just tried to keep a distance behind third and fourth spot behind you to make sure they couldn't catch me.
Did you let off a little bit?
Yes, I let off a little bit after the race restarted, and, you know, I didn't race the first four or five laps, but I wanted to put a lead on third and fourth spot and get far enough out in front, you know, so if I did have any trouble getting traffic, if they couldn't catch me.
Well, you're a champion now, Gordon, after all these years. Congratulations, and you have earned it.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, and our congratulations to Gordon Johncock, and Chris will be talking with Johnny Rutherford, and we'll have more skiing coming up in just a moment.
We raced all season long in hopes of changing the number two on his car to a number one, but it was not to be. Johnny, the concept of wide world of sports is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, and I don't think that anyone ever emphasized the agony of defeat as you did when you stepped from your car. What were your feelings of, were there frustration, madness, bitterness, watch,
all of those, Chris? It was just a total shot, you know. I think it's the most bitter disappointment I have ever experienced. The thing to have it come down to this, and to know that all we've got to do is stay out there and finish the race, and we will put it all together and be the number one, and then have it all just swept away by like something breaking on the car. It was really, really bitter disappointment.
It's something that was mechanical, and if you can't look in the mirror and say, it's my fault, it must be that much more frustrating because of that facet.
Well, it is, and the guys, I know the team McLaren, Tyler Alexander, and all the guys with the team worked very hard preparing for this race. everything was new on the car, and it's just one of those things that happened. We had an oil line break and dumped all the oil out of the thing, and it seized as I was coming in the pit, and I had to just barely got it out of gear and before it locked up and you know, started sliding the car. It was really something.
Johnny, you got out of the car, you walked away, you didn't say a word to anyone, and you disappeared. Who was the first person you spoke to, and what did you say?
Well, Betty, my wife, came out to do what she could do. And, you know, there's nothing anybody can do, really, any condolences or anything. But I remember the first thing I said to her was, the good Lord must not have wanted us to have this championship, I guess. So evidently he didn't, and we didn't win it. We'll go get our act together, I guess, like we do every year, and say we'll be back next year. But the only consolation is we've got a bunch of number twos in the box that we can stick on the car next year. So we'll be number two again, I guess.
Well, Johnny, you're number one in a lot of people's eyes, and we'll be around next year to watch you too.
Thank you, Chris.
So the official order of finish of the Arizona 150, Al Unser, Gordon Johncock, Mario Andretti, Wally Dottenbach, and Roger McCluskey. In the National Points totals for USAC for 1976, Gordon Johncock nosing up Rutherford by 20 swim points for the championship. This is Bill Fleming along with Chris Economaki saying so long from Phoenix. Earlier, we brought you a report on the World Professional Skiing Championship, which were recorded last winter at Steamboat Springs, Colorado. The final event of last season's Pro Ski Tour was at Vail, and for a report on that, here's Frank Gifford and Bob Beatty.